You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. Hey folks, I hope you'll spread the word about Kick-Ass News and share us with at least two friends this week. Or better yet, share Kick-Ass News with all your friends on Facebook or Twitter. And if you really want to help, donate to our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/kickassnews. Thanks for listening, and now enjoy the podcast. Hi, I'm Ben Mathis, and welcome to Kick-Ass News. Just in time for graduation season, today I'm talking with one of the most memorable commencement speakers in recent memory. In 2015, film director John Waters delivered a gleefully subversive speech to the graduates of the Rhode Island School of Design, or RISD. The speech, which advised young people to eavesdrop, listen to their enemies, and horrify us with new ideas, went viral in part because it was so brilliantly on point about making a living as a creative person. John Waters has written a book based on that famous speech, and it makes a great gift for any graduate. It's called Make Trouble. John Waters has been making trouble his whole life, both famous and infamous for his films that embrace bad taste, celebrate transgressive counterculture, and make heroes out of outsiders. He began by making silent 8mm and 16mm films in the mid-1960s, using his quirky band of friends as his cast. He screened these films in rented Baltimore church halls to underground audiences, drawn by word of mouth and a guerrilla marketing campaign that consisted mostly of street leaflets. As his filmmaking grew more polished and his subject matter more shocking, his audiences grew bigger, and his write-ups in the Baltimore papers were more and more outraged. By the mid-1970s, he was making features, which he managed to get shown in midnight screenings at art cinemas by sheer perseverance, and his first hit came with the 1963 film Pink Flamingos, described as a deliberate exercise in ultra-bad taste. Waters continued to make low-budget shocking movies with his Dreamland Repertory Company until Hollywood crossover success came with Hairspray in 1988. And although his more recent movies like Crybaby, Serial Mom, Cecil B. Demented, and A Dirty Shame appeared cleaned up and professional, they retain Waters' playfulness and reflect his lifelong obsessions. In addition to his work behind the camera, John Waters is an unmistakable character actor who you've probably seen in The Simpsons, Frasier, and most recently in the FX miniseries Feud, as well as memorable guest appearances on Saturday Night Live, The Daily Show, The Late Show with David Letterman, Late Night with Conan O'Brien, and The Colbert Report. He's also an accomplished artist, the star of a hit one-man show that regularly tours the U.S. and abroad, and author of 7 books, including the New York Times bestsellers Role Models and Carsick, and his latest book, Make Trouble. Today, he joins me to talk about his career in film, some of his inspirations, and why he considers his biggest commercial success to be his most subversive film. In a discussion that may surprise some creative types, John Waters throws cold water on the romanticization of the tortured artist, extols the virtues of a healthy work ethic, and advises that Hollywood and rich people are not the enemy. In fact, in an age when everyone seems to want to be an outsider, John Waters says maybe it's more daring to be an insider. Plus, we talk political correctness, why everyone needs a youth spy, and the origins of his famous pencil-thin mustache. Coming up with Baltimore's favorite son, the Baron of Bad Taste, filmmaker, artist, and author John Waters, in just a moment. Filmmaker, actor, artist, and author John Waters has been called the Prince of Puke and the People's Perv for his films that celebrate bad taste. They've included such cult classics as Pink Flamingos, Serial Mom, Crybaby, Polyester, and Hairspray, which was later turned into a hit Broadway musical. He is the author of 7 books, among them the New York Times bestsellers Role Models and Carsick. He regularly performs his one-man spoken word shows in the United States and abroad, and he guest stars in one of my all-time favorite Simpsons episodes. He has a new book called Make Trouble. Mr. Waters, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into the book, I just want to say how delighted I was to see you playing William Castle, the Scream King, on Feud on FX.
Exciting. I had to keep that secret for months because we shot it in L.A., but a few months ago, and it was just myself and Jessica Lange and all those extras. Those extras were good. They didn't snitch. None of them tweeted it or anything. It was good. It was a good
what
secret.
What theater did y'all shoot that in?
Ooh, was it the Fox, maybe? You know what? I forget where it was because they just picked me up and take me there. It was downtown L.A. It was a beautiful old theater.
There's like there's the Los Angeles theater. There's the
I don't
Orpheum,
know if you said it, I wouldn't know.
House.
But I think this is the same place, maybe, where I got the GLAAD Award or some big gay award once, and I think it was that theater.
Okay.
But well, I never come in the front, so I don't know. You know, like the Bobby Kennedy entrance.
Yeah. Well, he was a big inspiration of yours, not Bobby Kennedy. Well, maybe Bobby Kennedy.
Well,
but
I liked Bobby Kennedy.
William Castle.
I like William Moore. Was more of an influence. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you grow up watching like 13 Ghosts?
Oh,
House on
every
Haunted
one
Hill,
of them. I still have. I have the original instructions how to put the buzzers under the seat for the projectionist. That's a really rare collectible.
Now, was
I
that for
met
the...
his widow. I wrote about him. I wrote the introduction to his autobiography when it was re-released. And Terry Castle wrote me a lovely note after shown saying how it made her father proud, which was very sweet.
The buzzers, were those for the Tingler?
Yes.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Percepto, I believe it
Did
was
Did you
called,
see that in the theater, the original theater?
See, but, when it got to my movie theater, they only had about 3 seats wired, but I found them.
You found the one.
Yeah.
See, now, it never made sense to me because I watched it on VHS. And suddenly Vincent Price, you know, what is the line he says? He says
the Tingler is loose in the theater, now screams.
The theater.
You know, that movie, The Tingler.
I never understood it.
Mentions LSD, and it was filmed in 1958, which is pretty amazing. Nobody knew what LSD was for 10 years after that.
You have this great new book called Make Trouble, and I guess it's a speech.
Commencement speech.
Yeah, it's a commencement speech that you gave at Oral Roberts University.
No, not RISD. Hardly Oral Roberts.
Liberty University?
No, RISD, a very, very good art school.
Yeah, Rhode Island School of Design.
And it went viral, which I was happy about. You know, I could tell it went over well. And then they came and asked me to do a book of it, an illustrated book, which I really love. Eric Hansen did the illustrations, the same person that did the cover of my book, Role Models. So I'm really happy to work with him again. And it is, I'm a gift book. Who would have ever imagined? But it's a book you can give anybody. They could be graduating from AA. They could be graduating from, you just got out of a mental institution.
Yeah.
A lot of things you can graduate from.
Yeah, and, you know, universities are so notorious for political correctness, safe spaces, trigger warnings these days.
But I am politically correct in a weird way.
What way?
Because if there were politics in all my movies, it's mind your own business. Don't judge other people unless you know the whole story. Never be jealous.
Yeah.
A no is free, and just assume you're going to be able to accomplish what you can, even if it's against everything society believes in. Isn't that politically correct?
I guess so. Live and let live, pretty much. Yeah. Now, the university, when they asked you, were you surprised? Did you ask them if they've
seen any of your movies?
Oh, I knew they had seen my movie. I was mad no one had ever asked me before. It was a racket I've been trying to get into for years, commencement speeches. The weirdest thing is, after this came out and it was hugely successful, no one still has asked me to do another one.
Oh, really?
Which I think that's so bizarre. I thought I was going to get flooded. I thought my price would go up.
Yeah, because this speech that you gave went viral, I think.
Yeah, it
was
did.
All over
Certainly,
the place.
It was everywhere. And so I wonder now, it would be really hard to top it if someone did ask me to do it. I did get more, when I did this, I got a Doctorate of Fine Arts Award. And
oh, really?
I got one later from the Maryland Institute of Art in Baltimore afterwards. And I got my first one, though, when I taught in prison at Patuxent Institute. And when I taught there, it was actually, they got a real degree from a local college, but I had no college degree. So to teach there, they gave me another lifetime achievement award. That just means you're insane, but got away with it. That's what a lifetime achievement award means. Yeah.
Now, is that like, it's an honorary degree from prison college? Or
no,
prison?
I was honorary from that college so I could teach there.
Oh,
so I could literally, I got a paycheck from the state of Maryland to rehabilitating killers.
Does it pay well?
Right? No one pays. No one, if you want to be rich, you're never a teacher. Yeah. I mean, you know, except even though
the
academia.
Prison guards probably make more than teachers, actually, when it comes down to it.
The prison guards don't make a lot either, I don't think. And it's really hard to tell the prison guards between the prisoners are kind of the same. It's just the same angle, a different way, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I started a gang.
What did they make of you when you walked in?
They were
in
fine.
There?
Yeah. One of them said to me once, and I didn't get it. He said, "Got a little sugar in you." I said, "What?" I didn't know what he was talking about. Oh, I get it. Oh, yeah. But I didn't know what he meant. I hadn't heard that term.
You preface your speech by saying you were suspended from high school, you were arrested a few times, and you were kicked out of college for the first, apparently, marijuana scandal on a university campus. Is that true?
Yeah, what it happened? Is at NYU in 1966. Yeah? There's even a book about it called Drugs on Campus 1 and 7, and my chapter is Pot on the Asphalt Campus. And I actually went into the dormitory that where we were caught and thrown out of recently for the first time in 50 years. It's
really
in University Place in New York. It was at NYU. It was so weird to walk back in there. You know, I remember my parents were so uptight, and I'm jumping out of a car like Diane Linkletter. I mean, it was really kind of, but I remember it wasn't that horrible for me. They should have kicked me out. I never went to school. I stole books every day in the bookshop and sold them back to get money to the same bookshop and went to 42nd Street and went to see movies like Olga's House of Shame and The Undertaker and His Pals. But I did get my education.
Yeah.
But then you couldn't have, they wouldn't have let me make those movies. Today, they certainly, no college would have then. And today, they would, certainly. Mm-hmm. I think you could go to RISD and make a snuff movie and get an A.
You think so? Yeah.
Well, with the trigger warning.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you, but I'm going to tell you right now that I'm going to do it, so if you can accept that.
Well, yeah, and that's funny because what I found ironic about your speech and this book is that you're famous for your culturally subversive movies, and yet this speech in this book are sneakily subversive in that here you are invited to speak to your people, creative types, designers, artists, and whatnot, and you're sitting here telling them, don't isolate yourself, don't hate rich people, work within the system.
Yeah.
Or are they
sneak
taken aback?
In the system. Yeah. No, because it's good advice.
It is good
by
advice.
Rich people, I mean people. I'm rich because I've always said what rich is, that you never have to be around assholes in your life. And
until,
I have worked,
right,
except
now.
On planes. On planes, you still can't avoid them.
Yeah.
But I, nowhere in my life do I have to be around assholes. That's rich. And poor to me is unopen to ideas. It's not about money. It's unaccepting, uncurious, and wanting to stay in your neighborhood and never leave it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have different meanings of what are poor and rich to me. But we can't hate all rich people. Who's going to buy our art? Who's going to back our movies?
Yeah, exactly.
I know a lot of jerks that are poor.
You also say, don't be an outsider. You say, I think, something along the lines of, it's more original to be an insider in this day and
age. Well, you used to, when I was young, I wanted to be an outsider, but no one wanted to be an outsider then. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say today, without any irony, that both Obama and Trump consider themselves outsiders?
Huh.
Yes, they do.
I mean,
I'm sure they do. And I...
That would imply a certain degree of self-awareness on Trump's part, I think. But
no, he believes he's an outsider, and he was.
Yeah, well, yeah,
he was to the political system, no matter what you think of it.
To the establishment,
So to me, it's much more devious to worm and sneak your way in as a spy into the real room where it happens, as they say, in Hamilton, and screw it up, make it better, and operate from within. Yeah. That is the goal today. We're not hippies anymore. That's over. You know, all that stuff is kind of over. We lost the revolution, but we won influence, heavily influence. We just got thrown out again. So, I mean, but we got to sneak back in.
Well, now
it's like spy versus spy in Mad Magazine.
Yeah, that's funny. That's the first time I've heard of spy versus spy in years.
Oh, Mad Magazine was the very first rebellious thing I ever did. It's most people over 40s. Very first rebellion they ever did was get Mad Magazine. And they're still good. I saw a picture of Alfred E. Newman holding Tom Cruise's baby, and the headline was, What Me Sorry? Isn't that the child's name? I thought that was really funny. I think they're still funny.
Yeah, the foldovers in the back.
Yeah, Alfred E. Newman. And then they had the girl, Alfreda E. Newman. I loved her.
I didn't even realize until recently, Alfred E. Newman was not a real person.
No.
I always assumed that
their mascot. It was just a person. Like, it's like Trump.
I mean, I think I went through part of my life thinking that Woody Allen was Alfred E. Newman before I really had ever seen a Woody Allen movie as a child.
Well, I can bet that Woody Allen liked Alfred E. Newman. You can be sure he liked Mad Magazine, definitely. Yeah.
Well, now, Woody, used to do all of his movies in New York, and then he had this amazing second act late in life where suddenly he's going off to Paris and all these places. You have filmed every movie in Baltimore. Do you think you might have a similar second act where maybe you take off to Vegas?
I do have a second
Rome?
Act, but it's books.
Okay.
You know, because my last two books did great and my last movie didn't.
Did.
So, but I'm a big fan of Woody. I was in one of his movies, Sweet and Lowdown. And, Woody has still the most enviable career of any American director. Mm-hmm. He just makes movie after movie after movie. If they're hits or flops, it doesn't seem to matter really to his production schedule, which is pretty great. I think Pedro Almodovar is the best director in the world, but I think Woody has the most enviable career, and I like his movies too.
Yeah, and we were just talking about sneaking in to the establishment. You tell the young people that they need to prepare sneak attacks on society. You cite Hairspray as your best example. Now, did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that there would be high school principals across the country who would be letting kids do John Waters movies?
Or would be letting two men sing a love song together or doing dialogue that encourages the white girls to date black guys. No, it snuck in, and it still works. Mm-hmm. Republicans like Hairspray. George and Barbara Bush came to see it, and we're doing the twist outside with drag queens. So basically, you never know that I have only done one subversive thing, and that's Hairspray, because it has snuck in and continues to sneak in middle America all over the world. And no matter what your politics are, usually you like Hairspray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've yet to meet anyone who doesn't like Hairspray.
Oh, I'm sure there are some, yes.
Well, aren't they doing a live version pretty soon?
Well, they just did one on NBC.
They did it on NBC. That's right.
Yeah, completely.
That's
right. A whole other version. You can't kill it. Even the porn version.
Now, are you very involved with the musical?
At the original musical, I was very, very involved with the Hollywood movie. Each time the Xerox gets a little further away, but I was very much involved in the musical. And I liked the movie they made. And I'm all for it, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think it's... It seems like you can't even screw it up because now a political correctness in all the high schools, a skinny black girl plays Tracy. And the kids don't notice. They don't care, which is the whole point of Hairspray.
We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more with director John Waters when we come back in just a moment. Support for today's show comes from FilterBuy. Summer is on the horizon, which means it might be time to change your air filter. After all, you want to be sure your HVAC unit is working properly all season and that your energy bill is as low as possible. Thankfully, FilterBuy offers a wide selection of high-quality air filters in every MERV rating and over 500 sizes, including custom sizing, so you can find a filter for your HVAC unit, no matter its dimensions. Better yet, all orders ship within 24 hours direct from FilterBuy's U.S. factory to you, so you get the best price possible. No middlemen, no markups. Even shipping is free within the continental U.S. So breathe easy with a filter you can count on from FilterBuy. And now, for a limited time, our listeners can even get a 10% discount by going to filterby.com/kick. That's filterby, spelled B-U-Y,
airwavemedia.com/kick for 10% off your new air filter. As many of you know, I'm a voracious consumer of news, and I probably read at least a dozen newspapers and magazines a week. But those mountains of paper pile up on my desk, on my bed, and sometimes even on the floor. And all of that clutter can't possibly be good for the environment or my sanity. So I want to tell you how you can get 200-plus magazines without all the clutter. You know, at a time when it feels like it's never been harder to find the truth, supporting the free press is critically important. Thankfully, Texture gives you access not just to your favorite magazines, but also to some of the most credible publications in the world, such as Time Magazine, The New Yorker, Vanity Fair, and The Atlantic, all on your phone or tablet. Not to mention, with daily recommendations, exclusive interactive features, videos, and more, Texture makes it easy to find and enjoy the articles you want to read from all of your favorite magazines like Newsweek, Fast Company, and Entertainment Weekly. It's even searchable, so you can mark what you like, check out back issues, or view bonus content. No wonder it's one of Apple's top 2016 iPad apps. And best of all, Texture is normally $9.99 a month for access to over 200 magazines, but if you sign up right now at texture.com/kickass, you get a 14-day free trial. Why would you subscribe to just a couple of magazines when you can have all of your favorites all the time for way less? Just go to texture.com/kickass for your 14-day free trial. That's 14 days to try Texture for free when you go to texture.com/kickass. One more time, that's texture.com/kickass. And now, enjoy the rest of the podcast. You kind of went from doing very low-budget indie films to doing
pretty low-budget
Hollywood movies.
Well, I didn't really sneak in Hollywood because...
Still low-budget.
No, they weren't. I mean, for me, they weren't. Certainly, $11 million was Crybaby, $13 million was Serial Mom. They were not low-budget to me at all. And then they weren't that low-budget in Hollywood. They were mid-budget.
Well, I guess in that era, those were not low-budget by Hollywood
they were not.
Standards.
No. But they weren't high-budget either. And they're still playing. I mean, Serial Mom just came out again. Crybaby plays all the time on television, thanks to Johnny Depp, I think. But who knows? We made a Broadway musical of Crybaby that failed. And I think they did a beautiful job with it. I hope it gets revived one day.
Well, do you consider yourself a Hollywood insider now? Do you consider yourself part of this Hollywood establishment?
No, but Hollywood has treated me fairly. I've had four development deals in the last decade that never happened where they paid me Hollywood money. It was quite fine. I don't have any complaints. Hollywood treated me fairly.
That's the best game in town.
The thing I learned a long time ago, the more money they give you, the more they're going to tell you what to do. You don't want anybody to tell you what to do? Go make a movie on your cell phone. It's just an algebra question, really.
Yeah.
More money equals more headaches. I was just around here and looking at in LA today at the Black Tower, which used to be the Universal lot. I would have
the infamous Black
different Tower. Fights there with executives. I remember once them saying, well, they wanted me to reshoot this whole ending of Serial Mom and everything. And I said, they said, if you don't do it, you'll never work again. And I said, well, if I do it, I'll never work again because it'll ruin the movie. And in this town, I don't live here, so I don't care. But all those fights and everything, they fade away when you remember the movie got made. Mm-hmm. It's out. Some people like it, whether they remember it, whether it made money. It probably didn't, but it didn't lose much, and it's probably, who knows, it's still playing. Yeah. Maybe they'll break even one day on the ones that didn't. I certainly have tried. It's not like I haven't gone out there and tried to sell it.
Yeah, and in those days, you're talking about Universal.
Universal was not, at the time.
The Black Tower?
Yeah, Universal it was, Crybaby. But I didn't have that much problems with that one. Okay. This was more Serial Mom, and then it was, I think... That got sold, or I can't remember. There was different arguments. Yeah. I remember meetings at the Black Tower were especially intimidating when you went in there.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, was this back when Lou Wasserman was still
around? Yeah, they were all. Well, I saw him with those glasses.
Did you
ever meet him? Yeah, I did. Yeah, he's great. I mean, we didn't have a lot in common. But no, he was naughty. I never fought with him. I didn't have anything to do with him. You know. And Brian Grazer, who was my producer, I got along great with him. He was fine. I didn't have any.
Where is he now?
He still has Imagine. Are you kidding? He's doing great.
Whatever happened to that guy?
No, he's doing great.
Now, one of the things you say in the book is you warn that as you get older, you need youth spies to keep you abreast of culture and especially probably counterculture. Do you have youth spies?
Oh, certainly.
And what's something that they've turned you on to that wasn't on your radar?
Well, the entire Baltimore music scene, which is Future Islands and Beach House and Dan Deacon and all them. I give them poppers when they tell me about new groups.
Yeah.
You have to pay them with something. Yeah. Poppers are good. Better than Bitcoin.
Well, I just knocked the mic.
You're on poppers.
I might be. Now, you also say that they should read. And somewhere I read that you have, I think, 8,000 books in your home.
Yeah,
what
I like,
do you
to,
like
read.
To read.
Oh, everything. I like fiction. Yeah. I like biographies. I'm reading the new Jim Jones book right now about Jonestown.
Oh, but, yeah. I'm supposed to interview that guy.
Yeah. You know, I read all sorts of things. I mean, I like fiction. I think my column is in the New York Times this Sunday about all the books I'm reading. I read, it relaxes me. Having a TV on doesn't always, but reading always does. And I never fall asleep when I'm reading. If it's good, I stay awake till 4 in the morning and then wake up, start reading again.
That must be tough because you say that you get up at 6 a.m.
Yeah,
every
I do.
Day.
So I don't try not to do that. I stop myself from reading and go to bed early because Monday to Friday, I write every morning, yes.
Yeah, you're pretty disciplined. So 6 a.m. Monday to Friday. That's
otherwise,
not a typical artist's schedule.
Yeah, otherwise I have to go get a real job and get and take a bus somewhere and get dressed. This way I can go into my underpants and think up weird things. It's not a hard job to be disciplined about.
Yeah. Well, what do you do when you have creative block?
I don't have creative block. No. I mean, I'm not saying I have days where I write something that I cut out later or it isn't great, but I don't think I ever had a day where I just sit there and stare at a pad. The best thing is right before you finish your writing day at the end, know what comes the next morning. Don't quite finish the paragraph so you can start again. I mean, I outline everything before, so I know pretty much before I write a book, I've outlined the whole book. I spent 6-8 months getting my notes together and everything. So once you write it, and then you just get through the first draft and you think, oh my God, who wrote this when you read it? And then you go back and rewrite, and that's when real writing happens.
But you don't ever have days where you're just sitting there waiting for inspiration? When you try to set yourself on a schedule like that?
No, no. Inspiration to me is I have little boxes all over my house with little notepads where I write down everything all the time for different projects. So if you just go out or open your eyes or read newspapers, there's things that inspire you to tell stories.
Yeah, and that's another thing that comes up in the book is you tell people that they should go out and people watch.
Sure.
Get out in the community.
Airports are good. Just watch somebody, a plane let off and make up a fictitious biography, 5 seconds on each person as they walk out the door. And they get cuter, you know. First class is always ugly. As you see the people get out, the back, the worst planners, the one in the middle seat next to the bathroom are usually the cutest people on the airplane. I don't know why that is. Poor planners are cute.
When you were young, would you do that? Sit around Baltimore onto the street and watch people and make up
when
stories,
I was really
backstories?
When I was really young, sure, I watched people and I read things and tried to find out about worlds that made me uncomfortable, yes.
Yeah, and apparently another thing that you did was you liked to play car accident.
Yeah, I did. I loved it. My parents would say, no, we're giving you this little toy car. You're not going to break it, are you? And I'd say, no, I promise you I won't. Then take it out back, hit it with a hammer and go, oh my God, there's been a terrible accident. We have to tow it in. And I had this huge junkyard around a stump. And my parents didn't know what to do. My mother would take me to junkyards and let me walk around and look. And she'd have to say to the guy, my son really would like to look at it. And I would look in cars and think, oh my God, there's been horror here. And now I would hate to be in a car accident. It's not my fear.
Yeah.
I never look. If I'm on a highway and I see a car accident,
oh, really?
I never
you
look
don't
at it.
Neck.
No, not at all. Then I think it'll happen to you if you look.
Oh, okay. But you say in the book you don't believe in karma.
I don't, because so many great people I know are dead and so many jerks I know are still alive.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying I don't believe those karma. I just think it's bad luck. If you look at something and think, oh, God, unless you think, sometimes I like to read horrible things because then I think, well, at least it didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
That's why people like bad newspaper stories.
Yeah.
They think, oh, I had a boring day at work, but at least I didn't get, you know, murdered or...
Yeah, and I'm amazed that your mom and both of your parents really were so encouraging of all this.
My mother a little more than my dad.
They weren't a little like, we don't quite get what's going on with this kid.
Oh, they were scared of me. They were scared of me. But I was the first child, and I was born 6 weeks too early, so right from the beginning there was trouble.
Yeah, and this book is not just for students. It's for parents as well. You address them, and I think you give some of the best advice that I've ever heard for parents and kids. This is so beautifully worded. You say, the truce of maturity will come to families if every member is patient. I absolutely love that.
And I've always been for verbal abuse whistles. You pass them out to each person in the family. Mm-hmm. If anyone says anything, it'll all be if someone blows the whistle. And if you have a family that's prone to that, by then everyone will start blowing the whistle and they'll start laughing and they'll watch what they say. And if not, you just lick their chair when they're out of the room, and then they sit back on and it's a curse and something bad will happen to them. That does work, especially at Christmas.
Well, one tidbit that you give that I found especially relevant in this hyper-polarized atmosphere, you say, listen to your political enemies, especially the smart ones, and then find a way to make them laugh. Has that actually worked for you?
Yes, certainly. I read the Wall Street
opposites.
Well, I read the Wall Street Journal's editorials every day because usually I don't agree with them, but they're intelligently written. Mm-hmm. I know Trump supporters. I know Republicans, and yes, if you start preaching, neither side's ever going to change their mind.
Right.
If you can make people laugh, and I always try to think, did Trump ever say anything funny? He did when he called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. I did think that was funny. And she's never said a funny thing. But every single thing she says, I believe in. But she's no laugh riot. Let's put it that way. So, I think all of them need to make each other laugh. If we could, and when Trump tries to, it's never funny.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know. So I don't know. Humor is a tough thing. You can be bad at telling jokes, just like bad musical taste. It's all an impeachable offense.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Did you see when he gave that? What is the dinner that they do that the Catholic Archdiocese or whatever does in New York every year?
Yeah, and he sat right next to. And what did he say? A joke about something that I forget.
He bombed.
Yeah.
But each candidate comes, like this long-standing tradition since like Fiorello LaGuardia or something.
Yeah, but then they're sitting next to the, Pope or something, basically, that hypocrite.
Yeah, and I think you could probably even apply this to film. In particular, I'm thinking of the Diane Linkletter story.
Well, that movie wasn't a real movie. That was like a joke we made when I had to test a camera. And Diane Linkletter had supposedly committed suicide that day, even though it came out way later that she hadn't taken LSD that day. They blamed it on LSD, but she hadn't taken LSD for a year. And both both Art Linkletter and Nixon semi-conspired to blame Leary for the death of it. When it's very sad she committed suicide, but she hadn't taken LSD.
Yeah, so you didn't have a political agenda start off with
I think
that.
We were mocking.
Just screwing around.
We were mocking because we were on LSD then, and knew that we weren't jumping out the window. It wasn't all bad. And then that led to a trend. The Cockettes made a movie called Trisha's Wedding right afterwards that came out the exact moment that Trisha Nixon got married, and it was all drag queens playing all the Republican leaders. That's what we need today.
Yeah.
Terrorist humor. Humor that you use to humiliate and embarrass the enemy. Mm-hmm. They can do it to us. We could do it to them. Imagine a drag queen doing Hillary. None ever have.
You know what? You're right. Is that a start with, what's her name, doing Sean Spicer now, maybe?
Well, that's a drag
step in
king.
The right direction.
That was great. Yeah, that's great. No, I think Saturday Night Live is actually the most effective anti-Trump criticism today going on at all. Yeah, because everyone sees it and laughs.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious how you view Trump in this whole phenomena. Are you upset that, you know, someone may be challenging your title as the king of bad taste? Or does the shit stir and you kind of revel in the ridiculousness of it?
No, I'm not happy in any way.
Really?
But Pence might be worse.
Yeah.
although, maybe not. No, I'm not happy about any of it. And I think the thing is that his taste is, if you look at his furnishings in Trump Tower, are staggering, how hideous that, but it almost looks like Jeff Koons did it. But it's not that good because Jeff Koons has good taste. So the thing is, he does that with no irony. He is a hair hopper. He is the most nouveau riche kind of possible bad taste there could possibly be. Is his taste, yes. And even the hair, even the whole thing about the First Lady, that's why I think drag queens will do zombie Ivana Trumps, where they come out and impersonate how she wanted to, she sued because she couldn't cash in on being First Lady. Well, maybe, suppose Jackie Kennedy had a line of sunglasses or Betty Ford did non-alcoholic beer, and drag queens from beyond the grave came out and did a pageant. That would be good. So there is some room for some new humor with Trump.
You don't feel that it's stepping on your territory
no,
or
I,
bad
no.
taste becoming mainstream?
No, it's none of that. That's all sounds too good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think, I don't even know if Trump believes with it. I mean, at least he's met a gay person. Pence never has.
Right.
Right. even his wife had straight beauticians, straight florists do their
and
floral
shows.
Work. Yeah. And you can tell. I bet there's some bad flower arrangements in their house.
You said that you haven't been invited to give a commencement this year.
No,
not
one person.
Is there a particular place you'd like to do?
Sing Sing would be Sing nice. Sing.
Is Sing
Alcatraz?
Still open?
Yes, Sing Sing is still open.
Okay, yeah. Alcatraz is not, right?
Yeah. No, Alcatraz is not.
Alcatraz long gone.
But that's right. No. San Quentin might be nice. You know,
yeah,
I mean, only
okay.
because I don't know if they even have colleges there anymore.
Well, you might get another honorary degree.
That'd be good, from Sing Sing.
Well, you know, before we wrap up, I have to ask about the mustache. I don't think I've ever read an explanation of the origin story of your unique
Oh, I wrote a whole lot
mustache.
About it in my book, Role Models. I wrote the whole thing about it.
Okay. And I have a theory. Can I give you my theory first? Okay, my theory is, because I know that you love Little Richard, my theory is that he inspired you
of course he did.
To go with the mustache.
Yeah, I write about that. I've written all about that. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not
he
reading
totally
the right things
did.
Then.
He totally did, and the platters before that, and every store detective in 30s movies.
Okay.
And
yeah,
even
what was
today,
the one, what
my...
was the Yes guy? Remember
I
the guy?
I don't know, but he
the
had
old
one.
Movies? Yes.
Yeah, I remember him, but I don't... Did he have the mustache?
Well, similar.
Yeah.
Pretty close, I think.
My favorite thing, I was on a plane recently, and a woman was staring at me. I thought, what's she going to say? And then she finally said, are you a magician? That's my favorite thing. Because,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, because I thought, that's what she thinks. And I get why she said that. If I had a top hat and a rabbit in my lap, it would look in character.
Do you ever hate the attention and kind of wish you didn't have the mustache sometimes?
No, except when I'm shoplifting. No, I'm just kidding. Today... No, I always could go underground, and you know, if I shaved it off, I could. I mean, I almost had this commercial that offered me like $100,000 to shave it off. I said, "Of course, I'll do it in one second," but it fell through for some sort of insurance company.
Oh,
I thought, "Oh, I'll do that in a minute."
So it is grown. It's not drawn
what do you think?
On.
It's a little drawn on. It's called a pencil mustache.
Oh,
you've
okay.
never
right.
met a person unless they're from Zorba the Greeks family
that
could
that
grow a
that
mustache
thick
like
and
this.
That
yeah. So
okay.
no, it's there. I have to do it every day. It's gotten grayer. Yeah. So you might need to. I tried to get the Maybelline ad. Forever I wanted to do that. Maybelline, the eyebrow pencil that doesn't come off when you're getting off orally. Come on. I even thought up the campaign.
I don't know. See, I can't do that. I would love to be able to try
yes,
that.
Yes, you could.
No, see, I have a mustache, but
I
it doesn't
it.
Grow that close
just
to my lip.
Just get a little pencil. But you shave up in the middle there, don't you?
Right. Oh, no, that, but,
okay.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why it doesn't grow, because you shave there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
try it. Just go home tonight, put a little pencil on there, and you'll see it perk right up.
All right. I don't even know what that means now.
Well, all women must have mustaches. Why else do they have two whole counters of hair removal products in the women's section? All women have beards. They just don't tell us.
Well, again, the book is called Make Trouble. It's a great gift for the graduate in your family right now about graduation time. John Waters, thanks so much for talking
thanks
with me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. You know, folks, as weather heats up, it might be time to start thinking about changing your air filter. Thankfully, FilterBuy offers a wide selection of high-quality air filters in every MERV rating. And with over 500 different sizes of filters, you're sure to find a filter for your HVAC unit. And now, for a limited time, get 10% off when you go to filterbuy.com/kick. That's FilterBuy, spelled BUY.com/kick. Thanks again to the hilarious John Waters for joining me on the podcast. You can order his new book, Make Trouble, on Amazon, or download the audio version for free at audibletrial.com/kickassnews. And just a reminder, it makes a terrific little gift for the graduate in your family. And if you're a John Waters fan, visit the comprehensive John Waters fan site at dreamlandnews.com. Be sure to subscribe to Kickass News on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. Don't forget to take our listener survey. It only takes 5 minutes at podsurvey.com/kick. You can visit Kickass News on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Kickass News Pod. And be sure to recommend Kickass News to your friends on your social media.
And if you really want to help out, then donate to our GoFundMe campaign at GoFundMe.com/kickassnews or click on the donate button at kickassnews.com. As always, I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, though, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News. Kick-Ass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.